Thank you for, you know, allowing me to be here. You know, I felt so stirred just looking at, you know, your videos, and also in a time of worship, I just feel the presence of God in this room. You know, I every time when I begin to see when there's a grassroots movement of prayer among the young people, you know that God is really doing something. Before God were to move in a nation, before God were to spark a revival movement, you always see an organic grassroots movement happens in either in campuses or among young people in schools. And if you look through the history of the revival of not just Singapore but the world, it always started with a group of hungry, desperate, seeking, longing, thirsting hearts of young people will give themselves to a time, extended time of prayer and fasting organically. And you always see God begin to birth forth movements and revival in place in the history of humanity. And when just looking at some of these videos and hearing what God is doing on the ground, in the schools, knowing that people are starting to gather to pray, I feel like God is about to break into our nation once more. I don't know about you, I'm excited. Do you want to see God move? Have you read your Bible? When God moves, things happen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live the routine of my Christian faith, just read about the acts of God, but not seeing it for myself. I don't just want to go through a routine of life when I just come to church and out of church, into church, out of church, looking at this world unchanged, unmoved, and unconvinced of this God who has broken the power of sin and break the curses of death, and he resurrected himself. 500 men saw this man, flew up to heaven, and is alive, and not only that, he's coming back again. I'm not just happy to just sit in this place and just think, looking at a world out there who is not convinced of the aliveness of God in our lifetime. If Christianity is a fad, or it's like a hipster thing like Pokemon Go, long gone will be kind of fizzes off within the first 2 weeks because there's so much killing and persecution. The fact that Christianity today that you're seeing across the earth, it lasted for 2,000 years, you know there's something legit and real about this Jesus. He's not dead, but he's alive. He's alive to me. And I'm so thankful and grateful for the fathers of faith who stood through the trials of testing and time. Do you know that the gospel is not cheap? Do you know that the gospel doesn't come cheap? People paid a price for it. The fact that we can have a church to attend today, the fact that we have Christianity in Singapore, in this part of the world today, because someone would sail across the ocean, gave up their comfort, gave up their lives. Some of them didn't even meet the shoreline that they're supposed to go to preach the gospel. They died in shipwrecks. Do you know that it costs thousands of people willing to discomfort their life and begin to go across places where the gospel is not preached, where Jesus is not known, and they gave themselves to it? Do you know that this is remarkable? It's not cheap. And sometimes it feels like we treat the gospel to become something that's so cheap. But can I be honest with you guys? Someone paid a price for it. The greatest man who paid the price was the man on the cross. And subsequently the disciples followed the ways of Jesus. They took up their cross and they followed him and lived in the manner that he lived to let the world know what love looks like. Do you know how love, do you know what love looks like? Love looks like the cross. Love looks like a man who hung wide in between heaven and earth with his arms wide open, heart explodes, shouting to humanity, God wants the heart of man and he's not rejecting anyone. Arms wide open, heart exposed, bearing the very demonstration of God's love in between heaven and earth and says, come. And many have came. And thus we are here. I'm battling between like, what should I talk about today? Because I have two, as I was worshiping, I was kind of like thinking, okay, should I teach you about prayer? Or should I do something that's a little bit more prophetic in nature about the destiny of Singapore and about the time from now to the time when Jesus will return? I don't know. I feel like I need to say something for regarding to this nation because I'm a son of this nation and I'm zealous for my country. I'm zealous for my generation and I'm zealous for my children's generation. And you know what? I'm so grateful again for the fathers of faith in the past. You know, because of faithful men who lived before us, today we can have faith. Because of men and women who have stood faithful in times and trials and testing to persevere in the place of faith, to pray and to contend and to preach the gospel, that's why we can have faith today. My prayer is this, that my children and my children's children can say of us the same way that I'm saying of the previous generation. My prayer is that my faithfulness will give my next generation faith to believe in God. I don't know about you, but this is my challenge to every young person that I meet. I pray, because someone stood faithful, will you? I want to be, not just for a moment, where I'm in a youth ministry, being passionate for a brief moment of time to become like a spark, a fireworks that we get excited for a while, woohoo! And then it fizzes off shortly. But I always tell myself and my wife and the young people that's around me, I said, this is the vision of my life. That when I grow old, when I'm 50 years later, when my hair turns gray, at the mention of that name, Jesus will still cause my heart to move. The same way that I will tear in the altar, will cry because I experience the tangible love of God. This is my vision in life, that when I grow old, sitting in my rocking chair, my grandchildren will look at me and say, Granddad, I want to love Jesus like you did. I'm giving you a vision for your life. It's a great vision. If Jesus don't comes back, if he don't return in my lifetime, I want to die burning. I want my life to be burning, even to the point when I'm dying, I will still want to burn. I want to have that sparkle in my eyes. And you know what? Today, I just want to talk to you a little bit about... I think I'm going to this direction. I want to talk to you about the next 40 years. What? We don't even live past this. Tomorrow is like going to school in the next few days. Maybe tired really. Talk about next 40 years. You know how many of you have seen National Day parade and stuff like that? Awesome, right? I mean, I thought it was awesome looking at where Singapore was. The fact that where we are at now. I'm so grateful and thankful for this pioneering generation. But how many of you know that we are living in a time of transition as a nation? This nation is not very old, it's only 53 years old. We have seen our grandfather who pioneered this nation. Not just them, but also those who are in church, their faith, they pioneered it. In fact, whatever you have today is because of people who have labor heart. I know that we are in a season of transition. I'm so thankful again for the faithfulness of the previous generation. But somehow in the air, as we are just going through, not just in church, but also in the nation itself, we feel this sense of uncertainty. We don't know where Singapore is going to be like in the next 40 years. We don't really know what the landscape of the world is going to look like. Everything is advancing quick and fast. Technology is going ahead of us. And we have no clue what the world is going to look like. And there's this sense of uncertainty and stuff like that. And people are a little bit worried, kiasu, you know, stuff. They just want to find a way to find this stability. But can I just tell you this one thing? There's one person that I know is the most stable. His name is Jesus. He's unshakable and immovable. And the fact is this, I choose to believe this. When God started Singapore, he had a story written for us. He's called the author and the finisher, perfecter of our faith, which means this, God writes our story. And I believe that when God gave birth to Singapore, I don't think any, in fact, Acts chapter 17, you'll read about God is the one that created the borders of the nation. When we separate from Malaysia, it's not just like, oops, it's happened, just happened to be. I believe God knew beforehand, he basically orchestrated and ordained it to be, and when he carved us out and make us an independent nation, God has a story written about our nation. Everything that we have here is a miracle. We were not meant to be. It's almost impossible. But yet, within 50 years, you see a nation flourish and we begin to gain a spot in the world. The world sees us. Everyone type in Google where Singapore is when Kim Jong-un and Trump came. I'm glad when I go to the States, I have no need to explain to them where Singapore is anymore. Because they all know where we are at. But all of a sudden, we just, after 50 years of nation building, we just kind of like, poo, now the world knows where we are at. Do you think it's coincidental? I don't think so. This whole 40 years liturgical review, talking about how 40 years ago God gave us a dream, or God gave us a vision, a word, that we are going to be a type of nation that's going to send missionaries out to bless the nations. I believe with all of my heart, nothing is coincidental, nothing is random when it comes to God. God has written a story, our previous generation has walked into it, but now we are living in a time and a season of a gap between the previous generation and now. So what are we going to do about it? Because I believe this 40 years is not so that we can celebrate a 40th year anniversary of what happened 40 years ago. But I believe it is God's invitation for the next 40 years. It's more than just the 40th anniversary. It's about an invitation for a generation who will have a vision for the next 40. You see, when a prophecy or word gift is given to a nation or a person, it's not a done deal. Do you know that? But it's merely God's invitation for you to respond to Him. When God gives you a word, if you have a prophetic word, can I just say this to you? It's an invitation from God to basically say, God, what do you want me to do? You see, in our generation, we have a lot of this, we have this question, especially us, young people. God, what is the will of God in my life? How many of you have asked that question before? Don't bluff. There's so little of you. So few. How many of you asked this question? God, what is your will in my life? We all want to know the will of God in our lives. We want to know the reason of our existence, our purpose. I asked that question many times. I say, what is my will? And you know what? Oftentimes, it stems from a place where we long to be significant. We want to be great. We want to be doing something that's productive and powerful. And it always stems from a very me-oriented thing. And I realized that I've begun to change my question a little bit, because if God has written a narrative and has written a storyline, which means this, God has given us a storyline, and when we begin to ask God this question, instead of asking God, what is the will in my life, I want to ask this question to God. I say, God, what is your will for my what is your will for my generation, and how can I be a part of it? I don't just want to be a part of my own little story and I live my little world of my own. If God is the author and finisher of not just the faith of individual but nations, because at the end of the story you are seeing a nation's tribe and tongue being caught up into this storyline, and all of them are going to be loving on Jesus. The nations are going to love Him. If this is God's story from Genesis to Revelation, I want to find my place in this book. I want to find my place. I said, God, what do you want? How can I be a part of what you're doing in my generation right now? If you have written, if you have put me in this very time and hour of Singapore in a period of transition to be the not the pioneer generation, but in this world that everything seems to be awesome and we have a word about changing the world, how can I be a part of it? I don't want to live indifferent, but I want to be a part of what God is doing. So my worry is not really about future, because I know the future is written. The end of the story is this: Jesus win. How many of you know that Jesus win in the end? He's going to come back and He's going to make every wrong things right. Woohoo! Whatever thing that you're seeing, the crisis on the earth today, the injustice, the wickedness, sin, death, you know, cancer, all these things is going to be one day eradicated in one moment. When He split the sky, they are all going to be going to that lake of fire, and you will never smell the stench of death anymore. He says, no more tears, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more disease. You can't even smell the stain of Satan. Great story. God is a great story writer. I love it. And we know the end of the story. So the thing is, I'm not worried about the future, but I'm worried about how we respond now. Because I believe how we respond now determines what this next 40 years is going to look like. The uncertain thing that we feel, you know, in the eyes of God, it's not big deal. But how we were to live our life now, and how we respond to Him, to the invitation that God has given to us, is crucial and is important. I want you to turn your Bible with me to Revelation chapter 4. I believe we are living in a very profound time in our history, not just in Singapore, but also the world. You know, there's two things in the Bible that's very clear about with regards to the promise of His second coming. Do you know Jesus is coming back again? A real human being flew up to heaven, for your information. The reason why we are having faith, we have our faith today is because 500 people saw a real human being, a real Jewish man with hair, went up to heaven. They saw it. That's what they are testifying. He's alive. And not only that, but they also witnessed two angels telling them, stop staring up. He's coming back again. The same way they saw him flew up, is the same way he's going to come down. You're going to see the real Jewish man again, who is alive, fully. And he says, before he comes back again, there's two things in the scriptures that's very clear about his coming. Firstly, is the Jewish people will embrace him as the Messiah. And how many of you know that the Jewish people, the Jewish state only happened to come forth again in 1948? For thousands of years, when people read the Bible, they have no clue what Israel is. And not only that, but Jesus also said the gospel of this kingdom must go to the ends of the earth as a testimony to the nations. Matthew 24:14, and then the end shall come. And guess what? We are living in a time where it is possible. Israel, gospel to the ends of the earth. So we are living in a very interesting time. We might see him come back. Awesome. It will make sense one day. Now you're singing to the air. As though, no, you're not singing to the air. Someone's hearing it, but it seems like you're singing to no one, but he's listening to it, but it's going to come one day, you're going to see him face to face. And John chapter 4, I would say it's one of those moments where I've been giving myself to, because it is Revelation chapter 4 and 5, it gives me a picture of heaven. And I just want to draw a little bit of a text from Revelation chapter 4. You know, when God gave an invitation to John, you know, he says that I'm going to show you the things that must take place after this, that must happen after this, which means this God has a narrative written and he wants John to see it. But the interesting thing is this, when John got caught up into heaven, the first thing he saw was not a series of events, but he saw God and his throne. We are living in a time, okay, let's just read first, so that I can touch the Bible a bit. I'm making sure that I will read the scriptures. Are you guys there? Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 2. It says this. After this, I look, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And I believe all of my heart, above Singapore now, there's an invitation. There's a door standing open. He's inviting us. And at the first voice, which I have heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. And at once, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, which speaks about the leadership and the power of Jesus, and not only that, with one seated on the throne. And you see, and you begin to read down, if you begin to read through Revelation chapter 4, it is a description of God's glory and beauty. It's the realm that God lives in. It's endless beauty. Endless. The interesting thing was this, instead of seeing a series of events, see, God gave a word. He says, I want to show you things must take place after this. I've given you a word, a call. Instead of seeing what is going to happen next, the first thing that John saw was the very beauty and glory of God. Not only that, but to see his throne and his leadership. You know why? I believe God wants to give us a lens before we think about what Singapore Antioch call look like. Based on our own interpretation, he wants to give us a lens from the very throne of God. Oftentimes, when someone gave us a word, we like to interpret it based on our own interpretation. We want it to look like something that we want. But God was in his wisdom. He said, John, I want to show you things that must happen. But before that, I want you to see me. I want you to know what's on my heart. I want you to give you my lens so that you can live out whatever that I've planned and written for your life and for your nation. And I don't know about you, but I feel like there's a great sense of destiny in Singapore. We have this awesome word given to from different people talking about we are going to be great in the nations. But at the same time, we feel this sense of uncertainty. We don't really know what it looks like. Perhaps the question to us is this. It's not to try to interpret it and begin to think how it should look like. But it is invitation from God for us to first to see him and to seek his heart. And I believe that this 40th year, in the early years of this nation building of what we will become in the next 40 years, is God calling a generation to come up higher, to see Him, to seek His face, to know His heart. Because whatever comes after that is not so great, is not so like happy. Sometimes when we talk about destiny, we have a prophetic word and it looks so awesome. Antioch is so great, man. Have you not heard of Joseph? God gave him a dream, but he did not know that to get there, he had to go through pit. Sometimes, when God gave us a great vision, we may not know what the process looks like. That's why we need to be anchored in who God is and what He's able to do, so that when things begin to look like not what we expected, we will not be wavered. What if, I'm just saying, not say confirm, but what if for Singapore to become Antioch-looking nation, we need to suffer persecution? What if? What if? Like, in order for us to do whatever God has called us to do, we have to go through shaking. What if? Because no one knows what it's going to look like or feels like in the next few years. The world is ever-changing. And you see, it is God's mercy to call us to be bounded and to be anchored and to be rooted, not in what we see around us, but it's on the very fact that God's leadership is perfect and we can trust Him because of His nature. And John saw the very throne, the centerpiece of the universe that cannot be moved. Not only that, but he saw God's nature, and that gave him courage to see the seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls. Imagine without that vision of God, he might have just be overwhelmed and die. Try having brimstone flying down from heaven and hitting the earth. That sounds scary. Well, I'm just stating whatever the Bible say. I'm not making this up. But I believe God is inviting us young people, in the midst of all that we are doing, I believe God is calling us as a nation, as young people, as this generation, to seek Him with all of our hearts, soul, mind, strength, first and foremost to know Him. Guys, prayer, that goal of prayer is not answered prayer. Answered prayer is merely just a byproduct of it. The very reason why God has made you a people that can call to God to pray to Him is so that you can know Him. He's more interested in the process than the outcome, because the outcome is already stated. When He says, I want you to come up higher to seek my face, God wants to go on a journey with you so that you, in the process of talking to Him, you get to know Him. Everything else is merely a byproduct of the nature of God. Healing, signs and wonders, power, peace, joy, love. It's just part of the byproduct of knowing Him. But the thing about Singapore, sometimes I feel we are so eager to look at the outcome, but we just don't want to go through that process. Especially young people like myself and like you. We like the good stuff. But people in the past, they persevered, and they gave us what we need today. And my challenge is that, can my next generation find a group of faithful men and women who will contend for our nation, not just to see what we can do for Him, but to know Him? You see, the world that we live in today is this. Everything is becoming more twisted, and you know, the morality stuff is becoming more bended. What used to be good is now evil. What used to be evil becoming good. And you know what? The only moral compass that we have in the human history that God has given to us is God Himself. Unless we know Him, we will be swayed by many kind of voices that are steering us to whatever we want to do. I just want to go into this, and I'm going to close shortly because I just want to call. I feel like this morning or this afternoon, this evening, I don't know my time. This evening, I feel like I just want to put some urgency in the heart of some of you young men and women here. We be in school or within in this church, that there will be this tenacity within you to search Him out, to make this your very priority, to know Him and coming back to that place of first love. That beyond the things you can do for Him, that there will be a heart connection with God. And I just want to say that we are right now in a place, I feel with my heart that this nation is being contested. Whenever a nation goes through a transition, the success of a nation always basically depends on the how successful the transition takes place. Rise and fall always happens in a place of transition. When you begin to hand the next generation the baton, if they missed it, it crashed. But you begin to hand to the one that is like really seeking God out, they always emerge strong. And my prayer is that there will be a generation in my lifetime, in my generation, that we will steward what God has given to us, that will be faithful with it. And my prayer is there'll be faithful men and women in this place that will basically contend for what God has given to us, not just to cruise through life, but you'll contend. We need some backbones and tenacity in a generation to contend and to wage war until we see God break in our nation to see another move of God. 40 years ago, someone contended for it. We talk about Clock Tower. But will there be people in this generation that will contend for it? It may be uncomfortable. It may take a lot more, because in the midst of all these options that we have right now in Singapore, for you to choose God is harder than 40 years ago. Right? All those who are slightly older. Gian. It's way more harder in our generation today, because we have so much in our nation. But for a man who says, God, in the midst of all these options that I have, I choose you, it's rare. And I'm wondering whether there will be a rare breed that will emerge in Singapore that says, I will not defile myself with the king's delicacy. I will not partake with the worldly pleasures, but I will give myself in this exclusive pleasure of knowing God. That all these things are inferior, but God is superior. I know I'm saying this, it's kind of something like falling backwards of kind of feeling, but I know that some of these words is going into some of your ground and of your hearts. I'm believing God is striking some of our hearts even right now. And I just want to say that God is looking for men and women that will go for an extended time of not just prayer in school, but fasting. When's the last time we fast? I mean, we just did 40 days, right? Yeah. I'm so sorry. I forgot about it. But you know what? It's more than just a time. I feel like we need to go beyond just from July 1st and 9th of August and everything. Okay, it's done. But I feel like how many will go the extra mile that we say, God, until we see a breaking through and a breaking in of your power and a move of God in our generation, we will not stop fasting and praying. I'm not contented to just go through 40 days of fast and go back to life as per usual until I see my campuses being wrecked by the power and the presence of God. I will not stop fasting. In fact, I'm calling my community of people in Burning Hearts. It says, you know what? I know that we just finished another 40 days fast. We are calling for another 21 day of really just fasting from our meals and coming together and says, God, we want to keep on pressing in and break through. And I pray that God will raise up men and women like that, like those boys in the clock tower, not just an organized prayer and fasting, but an organic movement of people who are hungry for the move of God in our generation, that they will go for it. I remember about 20 years ago, that was quite long, I was still a teenager, in fact, younger than that, about almost 20 years ago, yes, I'm 33 years old, maybe about 27 years ago, I remember there were moments in my school life where young people, my age, 13, 14, I was 15 then, we were gathered in schools and we would pray, and everything that we do in our church services, you know what, back in those days, our youth ministry not so hip. Because back in those days, youth ministry, there's no this term called youth ministry yet. We don't really know what it looks like. The whole Planet Shakers things haven't emerged yet. It's still very much Darlene Chat Hugh Song. That was the most in thing. You know Darlene Chat? Okay, good. And it wasn't that, you know, fancy and stuff like that. All we knew at that point in time was this, that we're all wretched, broken, hormone raging young people that has a lot of issues and flaws, reckless. But the thing that there's something about, I don't know why, but I think because we have been hearing stories about God's movement in the past, we have been stirred by these stories, and it says we don't just want to hear stories, I want to see a real reality in our lifetime. So that basically gave us the impetus to just continuously come to church to pray. In fact, my growing up years as a new believer is in prayer meetings. 5 p.m. prayer meetings to 6 p.m. from Tuesday to Friday, and then early morning prayers from Saturday to Sunday, you know, from like 6 a.m. in the morning before we go for our services. So we go for prayer meetings every day. And I came from a Buddhist family, and then my parents were not very happy for me going to church, so I had to leave church, leave house earlier to go for prayer meetings, so I was forced to. But in the midst of the being forced to, I caught that whole life of prayer, and in the whole 7 years of my life in church, I was basically being discipled in a place of prayer. And it's in that place that we have been, you know, contending for God to move, because we hear so much stories about revival in the past. And you know, my heart is that, God, we don't just want to hear stories, we want the real thing. And then every time we have youth services, we were only 30 plus of us, 50 of us, small. We have nothing, we got no lights, no sound system, very bare and very raw. But what we have was hunger. There's something in our hearts, we just want God to be real. And then our home in the hall is the altar. It's not carpeted, it's parquet. And most of the time you'll see this 15, 16 years old, 13 years old will come to the altar, whether we understand or we do not understand what the speaker is talking about, we always come to the front. And oftentimes you'll see these teenagers coming to the altar, staining the parquet floor with our mucus and tears. And most of the time what you hear is just the groan of the young. For good 3 years in our youth ministry, that was it. And somehow one day, it's crazy, just one time, again, this elderly pastor preached, we cannot remember what he preached. In fact, we're dozing off most of the time. And then all of a sudden he just stood up and says, I just want you to invite anyone who want to respond to the Lord. So our natural inclination is to go to the altar, because our pastors used to say this to us. When you come to the altar of God, it's a place where God alters your life. Great quote this, cell leaders. When you come to the altar of the Lord, it's a place where God will author your life. It's like, and that is the thing that gave us to keep coming, because we want God to change our life, author our life. So we just keep coming. And that one service, I remember, it was very boring, we were tired, but when he finished, the worship team came up. Andrew Yeo was leading worship then, he was very young. I don't know if you know Andrew Yeo, the FOP face, the state National Stadium worship leader. He'll come and he'll lead worship, and then they'll be playing one song. And after they finish playing that one song, all of a sudden there was silence. Because all of a sudden you see one by one young people falling onto the ground. Not just kneeled down, but they were prostrating. And then you see Andrew started to drop his guitar, and his Taylor guitar. He dropped it, he fell forward, the bassist fell forward, the keyboardist fell forward, the drummer was inside the drum shoe. Just fell forward, and all of a sudden, for that whole moment, all you could hear was the groan of 30 plus young people, teenagers. And then there will be a moment where you hear the groans, and then you see spontaneously young people start singing songs. No more worship leader, they're all gone. Like on the floor, gone. And then you see one of these 15 years old begin to sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And now you sing finish ready, then a groan start increasing the volume again. And once another song comes, and guess what? This went on for 7 hours. Youth service, 7 hours. The altar area, 7 hours. And then my brother wasn't there because he was the youth pastor then. He was preaching somewhere else. He was trying to call all the leaders, and he became very frustrated because no one's picking the phone. So he drove his van back and just thinking, how dare these leaders not answer my phone? And he came back, he walked to the auditorium, and all he saw was a bunch of bodies on the floor. And a weird and sound of groans coming out from this teenager, and they were just groaning and travailing before God for their generation. And ever since that meeting, it's Makala. Ever since that meeting, we begin to see young people going to their schools, starting to pray in the secret, starting to pray in small groups, and your heart in places, you start praying. And within a span of 1 year, we saw souls coming in like crazy. From 30, 40 plus people, we saw 100 plus young people coming in busloads to our services, and then they see people getting saved. And of course, when we become bigger, we begin to start organizing more, we begin to do more of like strategizing, you know, doing a lot of that planning and stuff like that, we begin to lose sight of that prayer thing. And it becomes a lot more organized, and eventually that whole groan begin to fizzes off. Is it bad to organize? No, that's not what I meant. But what I'm trying to bring us back to this is this. Coming to church is more than just coming to an organized meeting, but it's about engaging the heart of God and allow Him to pull something out from you and begin to cause you to begin to turn your heart back to Him. You see, I like what that girl said. I can't remember her name. If God can have one heart, He can have a nation. If God can have one heart, fully given and yielded and surrendered, He can have a nation. I'm just wondering if there's any heart here that will say, God, everything. It may be tough, but I'm putting it on the altar to seek your face and to allow you to consume my heart, and that I will not be driven by the fear of man, but I'll be driven by the fear of the Lord, because I have been consumed by your desire. And I realize the key to Christianity is this. You want to stay on fire? Imagine this is God. Of course, He don't look like that. And His name is called All-Consuming Fire. I like that there were people that has quote, I love John Wesley, put myself on fire and let the world see me burn. But the challenge is this. I can only burn this much. I'm small and scrawny. I keep putting myself on fire. My strength fizzes off. But I realize that there's a God who really wants us. And is constantly calling and inviting us to draw near. And I realize as this God who is burning with fire and desire for humanity and for me displayed on the cross, and Jesus is making this prayer in John 17:24. He says, Father, I desire that those you have given to me be with me where I am. And then whenever I respond to God's invitation and desire, I take one step closer, I feel the heat. And I take another step closer, I feel a greater intensity of heat. And until I come to a place where I stand with His fire and stand with Him in that place, I realize that I will never cease to burn. You know why? God's fire and zeal for you never burn out. And all I have to learn to do is to constantly stay here and fight to be in this place for the rest of my life, and the world will see me burn. And they are not burnt. They are not seeing my passion for the world. They are seeing His zeal and desire for humanity. That my life is merely just a reflection of that. And sometimes going to the fire is tough. You know why? The same fire that purifies, that makes gold precious, is the same fire that burns away things that hinders love. And that's why sometimes we dare not give everything, because we like to hold things back. But my question to some of us here today, if you really want to see a generation safe, who is willing to come in here and be uncomfortable? To sacrifice, to draw near. Other people can, I choose not. They want to do this, I can join them, but I choose not. Why? Because I want to stay in this place. Because I have something that is burning within me, that consumes me more than the pleasures of life. That I want to see the move of God move in my generation. I will stay here until I see it happen. And I believe this is God's invitation for us for the next 40 years. Will there be young men or women who will draw near and begin to say to Him, God, as long as you want, however you want it to be like, I will just be steady in my posture of drawing near, build an altar before you, and put my life as a sacrifice. You provide the fire. That this will be my daily expression of love. Until I see you move, I will not move. Revival, move of God, all these things require sacrifice. It's more than just a great idea. It's sacrifice. It's more than just a fantasy. It's sacrifice. And I believe tonight there is an invitation. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I believe there can be grace. God can sustain. I've been trying to do that for the last 6 years of my life, and I tell you, most of my prayer meeting can be boring at times. But you know one thing that I've learned? I just have to keep showing up. I just keep showing up before God and talk to Him. Every day, I keep showing up. Be it in a prayer room or in my prayer closet, I will just contend and show up. Because I know as long as I keep showing up, He has a target board that He can shoot and use for His glory. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. I'm going to end. Sorry, I talk a lot. The Bible says that God, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, searching across the earth, looking for hearts who will be loyal to Him. You have to understand Jesus, a real man, a real God in heaven, His eyes are always tuning down and looking down from heaven, looking for hearts. The response from the heart of man, He's constantly looking for those who will respond to Him. And when He begins to see one responsive heart, He basically makes Himself strong through those responses. And I believe in order for us to see God to break in, He's always waiting and looking for hearts will be fully given over. This is the story of humanity in the past 2,000 years of Christianity. People will give their hearts fully over. Some of them, they are willing to lay down their lives. It's crazy. There's something that drives them beyond themselves. They will say that my life is not my own. Someone paid a price for it. I am His and He is mine. That our inheritance and our reward is not based on what we can earn in this age. But Him, He will be our greatest reward. That the Lamb of God will also receive the reward of His suffering. We are His reward too. He paid a price for our lives. And He's looking for people that will give back to Him what He paid for. So let's all stand to our feet. We're just going to sing a song. I'm going to spend a short time of prayer. If that is you this evening, I want to give you an opportunity to build an altar before God and allow God to alter your life. And some of you here, you might be feeling like stirring in your heart. And you're as I was talking and speaking, if you are feeling this sense of stirring and this kind of like longing, this kind of like rising from within you, I want to pray with you. I pray that God will deepen that. That it will so ruin your heart and your life that you will never be the same. That you will be so steered and dictated by this drive and this longing of God. One thing, a generation to be with Him. God is inviting a generation to come up higher, to see Him and to know Him. And before that can happen, there must be a yes in our hearts to say, God, here am I. I build an altar before You. I want to seek You out and to know You in the place of prayer. So we're just going to sing a song. As they begin to sing the song, I just want to invite you to come to the front to build an altar before God tonight. And I believe God's going to give you grace and empowerment to live a certain life in this hour, in this season that we live in. Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, increase Your presence. That's right, God, increase Your presence. We rend our hearts, not our garment, tonight. Jesus. This is our cry, God. This is our desire. We draw near tonight to the burning God. Just begin to long for Him tonight. Let there be a reach within you. Draw near to Him. I believe there is a door standing open and He says, come up here. Lord, have Your way. Come up here. I want to show you. See consuming fire. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Increase even right now, Holy Spirit. We want more. We ask you for more, even right now. We draw near to you. This evening, we draw near to you, Holy Spirit. Take us in. Leaders, I just want you to just go through and just begin to lay your hands on them. Just begin to stand with them. Says God, consume them. Begin to draw near. I believe God is going to mark some of your heart this evening. His eyes run to and fro, searching. He's looking for hearts that he can mark with his fire. Spirit, won't you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. You for the sake of your Son and the souls in our nation. God, mark us.
So in your seats, wherever you are, close your eyes and I want you to dialogue and converse with God. God, where am I with you? Where do you see me? What are you saying to me? Do you want me to step out of my seat? Do you want me to kneel? What are you saying to me? Some of us perhaps do not feel anything. Perhaps because that's how God has wired you. But some of us, because we have spoiled our appetite for the true good thing by filling it up with so many other things in life. And if you know that is you, I want you to come to God in repentance to say, no more. I will not be satisfied by lesser things that do not truly cause contentment in my heart. I will not spoil my appetite for the true God. And if you know you have been spoiling your appetite for the true thing that satisfies, God is calling you, come back to taste of me. So in your seats, wherever you are, I want you to converse and dialogue with God. Do business with Him. There will be no bystander in this house because God is looking at every one of our hearts.
We can never earn this fire and zeal. There's no way we can fabricate it with our own. God is the one that started this first. He's just looking for a landing strip. And all that requires from us is just to simply give Him a yes. It says, regardless of where you are at, when you begin to say, God, I may not be the most spiritual, or I may not be the most hungry, but there is a yes in my heart. And when there is that yes, God begins to do something divine that human cannot do it. You see, this flame of love and this fire and this zeal cannot be churned by human effort. Our human effort will cease, but God's zeal is the one that breaks in and sustains us. So if that is you, I believe that there is still more room. Maybe some of you here, you really feel that you really want it and you feel that you're not good enough. I want you to know that God broke that barrier of you are not good enough in the first place. He's just looking for that yes in your heart, and that's when He will break in. And I believe this is what He wants to do for some of you tonight. For some of you here that you feel far and disconnected, He wants to break in for you. I believe there's still room for the presence of God to move in some of our hearts tonight. If that is you, I just want you to come forward. Alright? Don't have to feel shy or shame. I feel that if that is you, if there's a yes in your heart, just come forward. I feel that the presence of God is in the altar and He wants to touch some of us here. Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit, we enthrone you.
what can we say before the King Almighty? We just come in such awe of who you are. And I know that you are stirring a groan among our young ones. May it increase. Father, we come before you as a youth ministry. I am kneeling in front, but if you are behind and if you want to kneel, I invite you to kneel with us. And God, we come before you as not just individuals, but we come and say corporately, as a family, as a house, that this house will serve you with all our hearts, our soul, our minds, and our strengths. Would you give us the grace from your Holy Spirit to stand in your fire, however uncomfortable it may be? Because you are worthy of all our surrender. And in this house, we have first gens and second gens. Second gens, basically people who grew up in a Christian household, and both gens, first or seconds, must steward what we have received well. So I'm going to get Anna to pray on behalf of those who are born in Christian families, and someone from a first-gen household, meaning they are receiving Christ on their own without Christian homes. And I want them to lead us as a family to pray.
Lord Jesus, you know how long this has been on my heart, Lord. Lord, I just want to pray on behalf of those of us who identify as second generation Christians, those of us who have grown up in a Christian household. Lord, as imperfect as our parents might be, as many struggles as we might have about the reality of our faith, Lord, we choose to put them aside. Lord, help us to understand that we have an inheritance. Help us to understand that there are generations who have paid the price before us. Our parents' generation has paid the price, Lord. Many of them have faced persecution, they have faced disapproval and lack of support from their own families. Our parents have paid the price, no matter how imperfect they might be sometimes, no matter whether we have to forgive them sometimes, but they have done something on our behalf, Lord, so that we could grow up in your house. Lord, help us to understand that you have given us this inheritance. You have given us something to stand on, Lord. This faith that we can stand on, Lord. Lord, help us not to throw away our inheritance because we don't understand the value of it. Lord, as I was praying, you know, you just reminded me of Jacob and Esau, Lord, and how Esau gave away his inheritance for a bowl of stew. He gave it away for something temporal, for something of this world, Lord. We don't want that, Lord, for our generation. Lord, we don't want to believe the lies that you know, we need to taste what the world has to offer before we realize that you are true, Lord. Lord, help us to understand that what we have here is eternal. Help us to know that the King of Kings will show his reality to us without us having to test it, without us having to try other things, Lord. Help us to know that what we have here is real and we don't need to doubt it any longer. Lord, help us to know that because we had the privilege of growing up in this faith, Lord, that we will choose to be on the front lines, Lord. If there's a call for our generation to be on to pray, if there's a call for our generation to sow in revival, Lord, we are the ones who have benefited from the generations before us, Lord. We are the ones who will be on the front lines. Lord, that's my prayer to you, Lord. On behalf of my generation, Lord, we want to be on the front lines. We want to see what you have for our generation. We will lead this call, Lord. We will lead this battle, Lord. And that's our commitment to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you brought us into your kingdom. I thank you for this privilege on behalf of our first generation Christians. Thank you that you've given us spiritual friends and spiritual parents. Thank you for giving us a second life, for us to be reborn as Christians. We can't imagine a life without you. And we can't imagine having to go back to our old lives, Lord. So we thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for dying for us on the cross. And thank you that even though we might not have parents who understand our faith, Lord, Father, but you know, we know that you stand with us wherever we are in our families, and that for those parents who are not saved, Lord Father, there is hope. And for our family members, Lord Father, we stand a gap for them, Lord Father. And have mercy on our family members. Have mercy on us. And Lord Father, I pray for salvation, Lord Father, for those families that are not saved. And Lord Father, I pray that, Lord Father, that you give us that perseverance and that trust in you, that in your time, in your beautiful time, that all things will fall into place. And Lord Father, I pray that Lord Father, that we'll not take this chance to be here for granted, and let us go and talk to our friends that you place in our lives. Let us not take the gospel for granted. And Lord Father, I pray that Lord, you sought us out when we were lost. You know that it's not a good place to be lost. Lord Father, would you help us to go for our friends, to go for the people out there, Lord Father, go to the nations out there, and to speak, to share your word, and to share who you are, Lord Father, with until the end of the world, Lord Father. Yeah, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm just going to read out a prayer that I wrote in 2013 for my generation, for this generation. They say that this generation is wired constantly, obsessed with technology, possessed by possessions, unable to differentiate lust from love, does not respect tradition and authority, is addicted to instant gratification, and it's a me, me, me generation. But I declare that my generation will be wired constantly to God's frequency, being intentionally watchful moment by moment, making sound and kingdom-minded choices when the need arises, for we know that our lives are shaped by every small choice we make. That there is nothing wrong with technology, but we will not take comfort and convenience and using them to fill the void within us. But we will be disciplined to seek the Lord who truly satisfies the soul. that there is nothing wrong with possessions, but this generation will not place their worth, desires, and priorities on 30 pieces of silver, but we will find contentment and come to remember the giver in the midst of the blessings. That my generation will live self-controlled and upright lives, knowing and honoring the true value of love and not lowering the standards to momentarily accommodate the desires of the flesh. That when we find it, we are able to enjoy the authentic sweetness and satisfaction of love. That we will not stop at respecting tradition, authority and values of the old, but we step up and step out to create a legacy of our own, to live in a way worthy of that authority, with sound values that will guide the next generation. For we know that what one generation tolerates, the next will embrace. That the burning desire inside of us to see something being gratified will be directed to the deep yearning of seeing God's hand upon our lives, upon our generation, upon our families, our schools, and our nation. That we will never cease to anticipate and to intercede. That this me generation will see beyond their own needs and desires, but to put others first, to love others, and to put God first. And Father, I just pray Habakkuk 3:2 over this generation, that this will be the desire and cry of our generation. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known, Lord. Father, that we do not want to wait. We want to see your glory. This generation will be the generation that rise up to seek your face. Oh Lord, be it through traveling, be it through contending, Lord, we will not rest till we see your face. Father, this generation will not be one that is knocked out of the race easily, but we, when we fall, we will rise up again, we will stand up again, and we will fight. And we will fight a battle on our knees as we pray and we contend. Father, may this generation be not a generation that is easily satisfied by the things of the world. Father, will we not give in to the desires of the world? But Father, we will pursue, we will chase after you relentlessly, Lord. That nothing can satisfy but you and you alone. So Father, I stand on behalf of this generation. I stand with this generation and proclaim and declare that we will be one that will rise up and seek your face. That we will be one that will shake the nations of Singapore and to the ends of the earth. Because you have called us, you have empowered us, and you have said that we are more than able. And most importantly, we are your sons and daughters. We have that privilege. We have that direct access. That nothing can stop us and nothing can stand in our way. So Lord, this is your generation. This is your people who will seek you, who will pursue you, who will pray until your kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. So Father, as one generation, we thank you for the work that you are doing in our lives. We thank you today for the foundation of prayer, for the altars that you have started to build within our lives. And through the week, through the time as time goes on, Father, may you build this altar to be bigger and stronger. And may the flame upon this altar burn stronger like a fire, like a wildfire that will spread beyond Kus Youth to other churches, to other nations, that we will all seek you as one body and as one church and invite your revival, to invite you here on earth to be with us. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this generation that you have placed in a time like this, that we will not stay silent, we will not be passive, but we will be active and we will pursue you relentlessly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God, as we go from here, I ask that your words will remain deep in our hearts. You always complete what you set out to do. You make all things beautiful in your time. So every prayer that we have uttered in this place, personal and corporate, will your Holy Spirit give the grace to cause it to bear fruit, to take root and bear fruit. I ask God for grace upon each individual here who have come before you to say, God, I bear my heart before you. I will stand in your fire. That you will give each one of us the grace to stand, even when it's uncomfortable, to stand because you are worthy of it all. God, you deserve everything. You are truly worthy of it all. You are faithful and good God. You are a good King. You are worthy of it all. So it's with great gratitude that we say to you, God, take it all. You can have it all, Lord. Let your words ring and ring in our hearts. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I don't really know how to close this, but let's thank God. Shall we also thank Jason for coming to share with us? Thank you for sharing with us your heartfelt words. We are going to clear the outer area, but currently we need to have a Feed 5000 briefing. So if you sign up for it, we need to have a short briefing. So can I get all of you Feed 5000 people to come and squat, sit on the floor here? The rest of us here, you can go off. But I invite you to stay accountable to your community for the decisions that you have made as well, okay? See you guys next week.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.